Welcome to the Temple Baptist Church Podcast. Thank you for joining us today.
Let's pray together. We got an awful lot to do in a very short period of time. Father, we are so grateful for the privilege of worship, and we give you the praise and the glory, and we thank you, Lord, for the way that your Spirit inhabits the praise of your people. We sense your presence. You've promised to be in our midst when we gather in the name of Jesus, and we declare for all who care to know that we are here because of Jesus and him only. Father, guide us as we share this time in the study of your word, as we share this time in seeking your leadership and your direction. And we pray, Father, that you would fill us with the presence and the power of your Holy Spirit to lead us, that we may live lives that are obedient to you. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. For those of you who are visiting with us and for those who join us each week via the internet, and I don't know if you realize it, but we have several hundred people that are listening to this worship service every week now as a result of the internet and as a result of our truckers ministry. Our truck stop ministers who work over there every week distribute between 75 and 100 CDs of the previous week's message, and then we make this message available. In fact, it will be online before the end of the second service via the internet, and we're now starting to get a number of people who are listening. So those of you who are joining us through one of those mediums, we welcome you, but I also need to give a bit of a disclaimer, because this is something that is unique to the local congregation and something that that we need to focus our attention on, not only today, but for several days and weeks to come. I think, though, that in spite of that fact, you will find that this message is beneficial to any believer who wants to know more about what God's expectation and the biblical model is for the way we are to live out that Christian experience. To go back just a little bit and to bring everybody up to date, over the last 4 years now, almost, we have been following a process. And in that process, we have been exploring God's leadership in various areas of ministry and different approaches to doing that ministry. Last spring, as a congregation, in a family meeting, we decided that the focus and attention of what we do as a church needs to be more and more on evangelism. And to that end, we wanted to develop discipling groups and small groups within the Sunday school structure that we already have in place. Not in a way of damaging that structure nor detracting from it, but using that and the strength that it brings to our church to expand further our outreach in the community. To do that, we have decided together again that we need to focus that attention through our Sunday evening time, and that is our best opportunity to reach people that are at home, that are not church, that are lost, or that have shown an interest in the church, and we need to do that together. And so tonight we are beginning the first of four training sessions for the small groups. And tonight's focus is on adults 5 and 6. And so if you are in either of those Sunday school departments and the small groups that make them up, then this is your night to come for the training. If you're in another group and you want to come for training tonight because you're not going to be available on the night that your training is scheduled, that's fine. If you can't come tonight and this is your scheduled night, but you can come next week or the week after that, that's fine. It doesn't matter to me which night you come on. It only matters that you come. What we're going to be doing on these four training sessions on Sunday evening from 5 until 7 o'clock for the next 4 weeks is teaching something called GROW. GROW is a program of outreach that allows everyone to be a part of it in sharing their faith in various forms. We recognize that not everybody has the same comfort level with giving a witness for Christ, and yet every Christian is commanded to do so. And so to try to help all of us grow and to help all of us expand, and more importantly, to help us be obedient to what God's expectation is for every believer, we are going to utilize this ministry in order to allow you to express your concern for lost people and unchurched folks in a way that is comfortable to you, but also in a way that will help you take the steps of reaching goals that may be well beyond what you think your possibilities are. If you say, well, I'm not comfortable going to visit someone who's lost and that I've never met, that's fine. Would you be comfortable going with someone who is comfortable going to visit someone who's lost and that you've never met? No, I'm not comfortable with that either. Would you be comfortable going to visit someone who's come to this church and indicated an interest and who probably already has a relationship with Jesus Christ? Well, I might. Would you be comfortable with going to see someone who has moved into the community and just simply dropping by to welcome them on behalf of Temple Baptist Church and deliver some materials? Would you be comfortable going to see someone who is grieving or someone who's lost a loved one or someone who is struggling with a crisis, maybe because of health or other issues in their life? Yes, I could do that. Would you be willing to write a letter to someone who hasn't been to church in a while or someone who is going through these kinds of issues or someone who has lost a loved one in our community, just to express condolences on behalf of our church and to promise prayer support for them, or be willing to make a phone call? These are all the different kinds of things that you're going to learn about in the Grow training session, and these are all the different types of ministries that are possible. Now, I'm not so naive as to think that everybody that is a member of this church is going to get involved, because everybody that is a member of this church doesn't even come to this church. I'm not so naive to think that we're going to get 375 people, if that's our average worship attendance, that are going to come to this. I think that probably it's going to be a little bit less than that. But I do believe that if we continue to share and continue to do and continue to reach out and continue to do the things that God has set before us, that more and more people can become involved. And here's what we know. We know that apart from this kind of involvement, the Christian life is left unfulfilled. If God saved us in order for us to be a part of His kingdom and then left us here in order to share Jesus with lost people, for us to do anything less is to cut short the very purpose of God. It's no wonder that so many Christians are unfulfilled. It's no wonder that so many Christians are living lives that are literally miserable on this earth, because they do not have the fulfillment and the empowerment that comes from being obedient. Too many people have bought into the lie that an obedient Christian is the one that goes to church occasionally. You can go to church every week. You can go to church and never miss. And if you never share your faith, if your faith never becomes such an infectious part of you that it flows out of you in some expression or other, then there is no obedience. The sole reason and sole purpose that we are here as believers, and the only reason we exist as a church in a formal setting, is to reach people and to disciple people who do not know Christ. That's it. When we do everything else extremely well and we fail in this one area, we're still failures. But if we succeed in this area and we are obedient to the leadership of God, then even if everything else is only partially done, we are still successful. Obedience equals success. To do something like this is going to require some adjustments to traditional forms that we have held to. For instance, our Sunday evening time has been a time that we have devoted to Bible study, and while it has gone through some changes, they have been minimal. They have been the kind of changes that we have taken incrementally. There is a core group of people that come on Sunday night. There's a core group of people, folks, in this church, that it doesn't matter when I announce a service, they will be here. That's the kind of commitment and faith that they display, and that is the kind of attitudes that they have. It isn't something that they have to haggle about. They don't have to juggle schedules around, because their faith and their Christian life and their commitment to the church comes first. It comes above everything else, and everything else gets shaped around that. And I would never want to do anything to damage the relationship that I have personally with the people that fall into that category, nor do anything to damage the relationship that those people have as core leaders in this church. Never. But I don't know how else to get everything done. I don't know how else to train small groups, and I don't know how else to get people involved, and I don't know how we're going to reach those who are not at home any other night of the week. I don't know how else to make evangelism the focus again of our church and to put an emphasis there. This may not work, and if it doesn't, I'll be the first to admit it, but I believe we've got to try, and I need your support, and I need your involvement. It's the only way that I can see right now for us to take advantage of the opportunities that are before us. Everything else is going to result in business as usual. Everything else is going to result in continued plateauing of the church membership. Everything else is going to result in more and more lost people being lost and becoming even more distant from our reach. It's going to result in more failure in discipleship and more unsubstantial Christianity being developed. We have got to do something to stem the tide of what is going on around us and in the culture that we live in and within the culture of the church itself. And I believe the only way it's going to happen is to focus attention on these small groups and to give ourselves wholly and completely to this GROW program and to the program and ministry of outreach and reaching those who are lost. I know that it's risky and I know that it's new and I know that it's untested. I know that all of the stuff that I'm telling you is different from what you have known before or what you're comfortable with today. And I know that you came here today in order to do your duty and to fulfill your responsibility, to embrace the presence of the Spirit, to learn something from the Bible, to get some comfort or help or encouragement. But folks, while you do all of that, please don't forget the reality that this is not about you. This is about God and what He wants. If you're a believer, He's already got you. You're already secure. Your hope is sure and certain, and your purpose is clear. And that purpose is not you. The purpose is the glory of Him. And the only way that God is glorified is if you are willing to be an instrument through which He can be magnified. That's how we reach people. You say, well, I don't want to go and visit, and I don't want to go and write letters, or I don't want to do this or do that because I'm afraid of what people are going to think. Let me tell you, every possible objection that you can think of, I'm going to talk about in the GROW training on these Sunday nights. And if I don't talk about it, you can bring it up and ask about it, and we'll talk about it then. If you come on Sunday night, that doesn't mean that you're necessarily making that commitment. You're coming on Sunday night to find out what that commitment is all about. But at the very least, if you come to one of these training sessions, you're going to learn not only what the biblical mandate is for every believer and for every church, but you're also going to learn detailed and specific information that will help you to know how to talk to someone who's lost. Regardless of how that conversation might begin, regardless of where all this stuff, and I'll even give you some information that you can learn in the amount of time that you will spend here that will enable you so that when you walk out that door, you can give a witness for Jesus in a way that you can feel good about and confident in and know that God will use to His glory. I believe that that would make you feel better. Now, beyond that, the vehicle that we want to use to deliver this GROW ministry is the vehicle of small groups. And what we learn about small groups is that it's something beyond what we have experienced before. Southern Baptists for years and years were masters of the development of small groups. And our Sunday schools were predicated on the concept of building the Sunday school by dividing it. And so we divided it every time we could. We would get a group of people together and that Sunday school class would grow to a size of about 10 or 12 and we'd split it. We'd create two Sunday school classes, and we'd find another teacher, and we'd keep doing that. And every time those classes got very big, we'd split them. You can even go and look in some of the areas of our old building that was built in the 50s. It was our education building that was added on to the original structure that was out here in front that was so familiar to so many of us for all of those years. In that building, what you'll find is one large group, one large room, and then surrounding it, lots of little bitty tiny rooms. Rooms that you would think of as more of a closet now than you would a classroom, but they were designed that way with a purpose. Because we knew that the small groups work best in order to divide and to expand, and it worked for years and years and years, but then something changed. Mostly the attitude of people. And what we started to see was that people began congregating in larger groups. Sunday school stopped being the entry point for people coming into church. New visitors didn't come to Sunday school first, they came to church first. They're not invited by their friends to Sunday school, they're invited by their friends to church. Worship attendance began to increase and outstrip Sunday school attendance, sometimes by as much as 25%, which is pretty consistent with what we see here. And people no longer wanted to be involved in small groups that were intimate and personal. People no longer wanted to be involved with other people. They just wanted to go to church, get their thing, and move on. And that's what's happening today. We have entire churches now that are being built around the concept of the large meeting. And it is the large meeting that occupies the force and the lion's share of resources in most churches. And it is this large meeting that still is the focus of our attention. We haven't changed anything that we have done along the way as far as our worship time, and that is still the focus of what we do. But now, more and more people are looking to this as the end-all of everything. Even our Sunday school classes, especially in the younger generation, started to get bigger and bigger. And when we try to divide them, there's fussing and there's dissension and there's allegiances and there's associations and there's cliques and there's groups, and we don't want any of that. And I understand all of that. I've been hearing that ever since I can remember hearing my father talk about stuff as the child of a pastor. And that's okay. I don't mind any of that. As long as you come, I'm usually pretty happy about it. But what I do see is that we are losing the intimacy, and that's why we want to reinstate small groups. Some of our older departments are already doing this and doing it quite well, but some of our younger departments, this is a new thing. And we need to have everybody on the same page, developing the same kind of ministry, and the only way to do this is through these small groups. We can worship together in this large setting, but we cannot do what God has called us to do at a more intimate level in this large setting. So that leads me to what I want to share with you today. That gives you the background, the introduction. I won't do that again. But I want to just give an emphasis from God's Word now as to why I believe all of this is important and significant. In the 18th chapter of The Purpose-Driven Life, and most of you have read that book, if you went through the study with us, and many of you who did not go through that study have read the book nonetheless, Rick Warren teaches us a very clear message, and that message is that God intends for life to be shared. He intends, in other words, for us to experience life together. The title of this two-part sermon is Experiencing Life Together, and it comes from the principles that we find in Rick's book. I've asked him, he said it's okay to use his stuff, and we've already used it several times before, so it's not a problem. Experiencing life together, we find in the book of Colossians in chapter 3, verse 15, it says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful." There are three principles that come out of that verse of Scripture that have to do with small group ministry and have to do with us as the body of Christ in this one place. He says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts." It is the kind of peace that gives the assurance of your relationship with God, the kind of peace that comes from knowing that you are being obedient to the will of God, and the kind of peace that follows clearly the direction set before you by the Spirit of God. We notice that not only are we to allow the peace of Christ to rule in our hearts rather than the turmoil of the world, but he also says, "To which indeed you were called in one body." Folks, you're not here by accident. You're not here by chance. And you're not even here by your choice. You are here by the calling of God. It is God who brought you here. It is God who made it possible for you to be here. It is God who even gave you the desire and the inclination. We take responsibility, but we also take the credit for so much of our stuff, and it is simply not right. Everything is to His glory, and everything is to His credit, and it is God who calls us, and this scripture makes it very clear. You were called in one body. It is God's initiative that brought us together, and He intends for us to be together. If we are going to experience life together, we need to understand that it is the purpose and the very principal foundation of God's intent that we would do so. Today we have all kinds of craziness going on in the Christian world. This clown up here that has been talking about how every death that occurs to one of our soldiers in Iraq is the result of God's judgment on the lackadaisical attitude of America toward homosexuality. That guy's a nut. And I don't care if that goes out over the internet. That's just ludicrous. There's no biblical foundation for that. There's no Christ-like attitude in that. There's not even any authority for that. That's just nuttiness. People who decide that they're going to do something in order to draw attention to themselves and then they use God to justify it is just nothing more than abuse of the truth. We have a lot of this kind of junk going on, and it's going to increase and it's going to become more and more as we lose touch with one another, because when we lose touch with one another, we also lose the accountability that God intends. You know, I know that there's nowhere I can go in the world that there is not someone that I am personally accountable to. I know that. I can't go to St. Louis and blend into the crowd. I can't go to Walmart and just put on a ball cap and a t-shirt and walk down the aisle. I'm going to be recognized. I'm going to be known because, after all, I'm the pastor of Temple Baptist Church. Even people that I've never met and that I don't know will come up to me and will say, "You're the pastor of Temple Baptist, aren't you?" Yes, as a matter of fact, I am. What did I do wrong this time? But you know it's true of you as well. Every one of us has a responsibility. You're a member of Temple Baptist Church. There's an accountability that goes along with that, and a responsibility as well as a great opportunity. The more and more we are pulled apart and the more and more we become disjointed, the more craziness seeps into the Christian family and the more ludicrous stuff gets displayed in front of us so that the world no longer sees us for our faith, our Christ-likeness, our obedience, our righteousness. Now they just see us because we're a bunch of nuts. And it's not supposed to be that way. The Bible is teaching very clearly that we need to be together. And it is that togetherness that creates accountability, and it is that accountability that we all need to help us to grow in Christ. He said, "You are called in one body." And then He said, "Be thankful." What are you thankful for today? Most people are more thankful when church is over than they are when it begins. Most people see their duties to God rather than their opportunities and blessings. Most people look upon church as an optional part of their life, and small group ministry and outreach and all of the other things that go along with it is something that is beyond them. They have time for it. There's not anything else. On Wednesday nights, we run an average of about, 20 kids? 20 on Wednesday night for the little ones, younger ones, you think? During the year, it's different, but in the summertime, it's somewhere in the neighborhood of about 20. A little less sometimes. Teenagers, varies. One week they'll have 15, the next week they'll have 40, and there's no way to know what it's going to be, but it'll average out somewhere in the mid-20s. A week ago, we decided to do something different on Wednesday night. We decided to take all the children and all the teenagers to the movie Cars. Just as a treat. Guess how many we had? 106. 106. I'm not kidding. We had 106. I almost showed cars this morning for the sermon. If I'd had time to announce it, I would have. I just don't know what kind of invitation you give after that. I haven't seen it, so I don't know if there's some touching moment there that we could kind of catapult off of, you know, in a spiritual emphasis. Your kids and you will not come to church unless they're pandered to. That's the bottom line. You won't make sure they're here because they don't want to be here sometimes because there are so many other things that they could choose from. They've got a baseball game or they've got a volleyball game or they've got a friend's house or they've got this or they've got a school activity or they've got that. And they're going to want to do all that because that's what their friends are doing. And because you haven't made it a hard and fast rule that God comes before everything else, then you're going to be pulled along that way. And besides that, if you let your kid go to all that stuff, you can go with them. But let me announce a movie. They pour out of the woodwork. We had kids here we've never seen before. Kids we don't know. We had kids from all over the area. I don't know where these kids were. They were probably some of them that were skipping their own churches in order to come to ours to go to cars. It is the state of the situation. And you know, I could get up here and I could pound this pulpit till it shatters. Because I think it would give before I did. It's not going to change anything, but I do believe that the kind of focused attention that comes from an individual emphasis in small group ministry and discipleship and outreach, when people start sharing their faith, it's going to change. It's going to change the way you look at your faith. You won't be able to take lightly the things of faith anymore. We see then the Apostle Paul, as he speaks to the Colossians, that experiencing life together is a fundamental intention of God. The Bible refers to this as fellowship. He intends for us to experience life together, and fellowship is something that has taken on a whole new meaning. It refers to casual conversation or socializing, food, fun. It refers to the kinds of things like going to a movie. If someone asks you, where do you fellowship, they probably mean, where do you attend church? If someone says to you, stay after for fellowship, they probably are talking about refreshments. But real fellowship is more than showing up at services. It is, in fact, experiencing life together. It includes unselfish loving, honest sharing, practical serving, sacrificial giving, and sympathetic comforting. It's the kind of ministry that only flows out of Spirit-empowered people. It goes along, in fact, with all of the other one another commands that we find in the New Testament, and there's over 50 of them. Love one another, pray for one another, support one another. And on it goes. But when it comes to fellowship, size matters. Smaller is better. Smaller is better. You can worship with a crowd, but you cannot fellowship with a crowd. We can't fellowship in here today. We can only worship here. If we want a fellowship, and if I declare a fellowship time, as I do at the beginning of every worship service, and ask you to go greet one another, what happens? You disperse and you break up into small groups all of a sudden. And then you rotate around all those small groups. And you do what? You fellowship. Jesus ministered in the context of a small group of 12 disciples. Now, obviously, he could have chosen more, but he knew, and we have learned slowly, that the maximum size for a group, a small group, where the maximum potential for learning and growth occurs, is about 12 or less. The body of Christ, like your own body, is made up of cells. And those cells are the small groups. And it doesn't matter where they come from, whether they come from Sunday school or whether they come from some other type of structure. The point is that small groups are absolutely essential in order for the body to be healthy. And the health of those small groups is going to determine the health and well-being of the body itself. If you think of this church as a ship, then the small groups are the lifeboats that are attached to it. God has said in an incredible statement of promise about small groups that were two or three gathered in my name, there am I in their midst. And so small groups have the power and the blessing of God Himself. The Bible teaches us then, clearly that these groups are going to enable us to experience life together, and it is God's purpose that we would do so. But in order for that to happen, we've got to understand what real fellowship is. And firstly, we need to know that real fellowship, people experience authenticity. Authentic fellowship is not superficial. It's not the surface level chit-chat. It's genuine, heart-to-heart, sometimes even gut-level experience. Authenticity is the exact opposite of what is found in many churches today. Instead of an atmosphere of honesty and humility, there's pretending, role-playing, politicking, and superficial politeness. Churches that give themselves more to shallow conversation than they do to the in-depth relational experience that comes from knowing Jesus are doing nothing more than putting people together that wear masks, keep their guard up, and act as if everything's rosy in their lives when they know good and well it isn't. These attitudes are the death of fellowship. In 1 John 1:7 it says, "If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." If we walk in the light. He said in verse 8, "If we say we have no sin, then we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us." The world thinks that intimacy occurs in the dark, but God says it occurs in the light. If we walk in the light, we have intimacy and fellowship with one another. Righteousness and the light of God's truth is what draws us to one another. It is the sin in our lives that goes unrecognized and unacknowledged that keeps us distant from God. In the light, we bring them all out in the open. We admit who we really are. Being authentic requires courage and humility. It means facing the fear of exposure, rejection, and being hurt again. Why would anyone take such a risk? Why would anyone be willing to do something like that? Because it is the only way for us to grow spiritually and emotionally healthy. James 5:16 says, "Confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed." We only grow by taking risk. And the most difficult risk of all is to be honest with ourselves and with others. I was going to try to get one more point in, but this seems like a good one to stop on. Remember, it's a continuation, so I can continue it for however many weeks we have to. Experiencing life together is going to involve some risk. What are you going to have to risk? The first thing you can risk is come to one of our grow training sessions. That's a low-level risk. Now, I'm going to write your name down. I'm going to sign you up. So we're going to know you're here, but I'm not going to come hunting for you. If you go through it and you say, you know, this just isn't for me, God's not leading me to do this, and you can say that with a straight face and an honest thought, then that's fine with me. That's up to you. That's the first thing you can do. The second thing you can do is get involved in a Sunday school class. Get involved in a Bible study class. Don't just come to worship service and then take off. Take some time to get to know some people. And not at a surface level only. Spend some time with them. In that Sunday school class, you'll have a teacher that will give you good, sound Bible teaching, will provide you with material that you can learn and grow with, but also, more than that, will provide you with an opportunity for fellowship. And beyond that, some in-depth kind of fellowship through this kind of small group training. You can go with people that are like you and share in those experiences together and start to learn. You say, well, what if I don't get along in that group? Well, we'll find you another one if you just can't get along in that group. We got a whole slew of them. There's like 26 groups in this church just of adults alone. And if you can't get along with any of the adults, we got a whole bunch of children's groups and teenagers. Now, I doubt they'll put up with you, but you can try. You know, one of the problems that I have as pastor of this church is that I've just been here so long, it's easy to get comfortable. I've said that to you before. But you know, that's not just me. It's easy for you to get comfortable too. You've heard me preach at the top of my voice, and you've seen me weep and in tears of brokenness, and you've been a part of my life, and we've shared it together, and I've been a part of yours, and it's easy for us to get comfortable. Folks, I'm telling you that we are stuck right now. We are plateaued and flat, and the only thing that is left for us is decline. From here, it's down, and I'm not going there, and I know you don't want to either. It isn't just keeping the ship up and keeping it from sinking. That's not what this is about. This isn't just trying to make a name or establish a position. This is about being obedient to what the Bible has called every believer to do and providing you and me and all of us together a means to accomplish that in a practical way that can result in lives being changed forever. If you get pumped up from coming to worship or being a part of a Bible study, just try sharing Jesus with somebody that the Holy Spirit has brought to a point of acceptance, and you'll find out what getting pumped up is really all about. It'll change you as nothing else ever could. Dear friends, please. There is a place for everybody and a job for everybody, but more importantly, an opportunity for everybody. But we cannot do it separately, and we must not do it alone, because God intends life to be experienced together. And all it takes is for us to be willing to take a step and be authentic. What would it take for you to be real today? Sin to confess? Acknowledge that there's something wrong in your life? Or maybe just come and kneel here at the front and pray. We didn't have our prayer time at the beginning because I wanted to have it at the end. And so in a moment, I'm going to lead us, but afterwards, I want you to just come and kneel here at the front and pray. If you feel led, pray for our groups that are meeting. Pray for our church and its direction. Pray for the fulfillment of God's purpose here as we try to reach lost people. Pray for somebody you already know that's lost, as you get prepared to share with them Jesus. If you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, you really need to. You've heard me talk about mobilizing 400 people just to reach lost people, and you're already here. Please, this is about you. This is about reaching those who don't know Christ. Because unless something changes in your life, you are going to spend eternity separated from God rather than in the presence of God. Don't believe the lies. Group of people meeting in St. Louis this weekend, 4,000 of them. The Unitarian Universalist Church of America. 4,000 congregation members meeting there. And in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch yesterday, it was quoted as saying, by the leader of that denomination, that we have people who believe in the divinity of Jesus, but we have a lot of people who don't. And we believe that all of us will find favor in the sight of God. Let me tell you something. Apart from Jesus, you can do nothing. And Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Don't believe the lies, no matter how friendly the face is and no matter how soothing the voice is, because it's still the same lie. Your only hope is in Jesus. Your only hope is in Jesus. Hearing this may not make you feel good right now, but it can save your life for eternity. This is the time for you to get saved and to know Jesus. Please, please don't wait. Pray that we will all have the burden out of our love for God and love for those who are lost, to do what he's calling us to do and what he has set before us to do now.
Thanks again for listening today. Remember that you can get more podcasts just like this one on our website at www.tbcsullivan.com. And if you'd like to contact us, you can contact us with the email address tbc@tbcsullivan.com.